Thank you, Pastor. It's a blessing to be in the service tonight. If you have a Bible and want to follow along as I read tonight, Matthew chapter 15, Gospel of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we'll look at, begin reading with verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21. You find your place, if you're physically able to stand with us, I'd invite you to do so. And by standing, we'll honor and reverence the reading of God's Word. If you're able to remain standing after we read these verses, we'll look to the Lord in prayer. And I'd ask you humbly and sincerely to pray for us that the Lord would help us tonight. Verse 21, Matthew 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Father, I thank you for the reading of the Word of God tonight. I thank you, Lord, for what has been wrote down, Lord, and preserved for us to this generation. I thank you, Lord, for the great miracle that took place in the life of this woman and her daughter. And I thank you, Lord, tonight that miracles can still take place in the hearts and lives of men, women, boys, and girls. And probably tonight, Lord, there's those that are under the sound of my voice that need, Lord, a touch from you, just as this family did. And I'm asking God tonight that you'd work effectually and mightily in and through all of us tonight. I pray you'd reveal yourself to us and reveal each one of us our need of you tonight. And I pray through the means of this service and the preaching of the Word of God that we could come to that place, that we could resign our will to the will of God, that we could say as Christ did, Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I pray, God, tonight that sinners would be drawn to you. I pray that saints, Lord, would be revived and refreshed and renewed. And we can all leave better than what we've come tonight. We can leave, Lord, with a greater desire to do the will of God and the work of God. Help us, Lord, tonight. If you don't help us, our efforts are in vain. If you don't breathe on us, Lord, there'll be nothing accomplished tonight. But oh, strengthen our body and voice and strengthen us in the inward man and let us preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We'll praise and thank you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. Verse 25, this woman of Canaan simply said to the Lord, Lord, help me. That's what I want to preach on tonight. Help. Help tonight. Now, every person needs help, but every person will not realize it or will not acknowledge it tonight. And until we become aware or have an awareness of help that we need tonight, we can never get it. One thing dominates the Laodicean church age, and that was that they said they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. Didn't need help tonight. And most folks feel self-sufficient, self-reliant, and feel like they can get by without God tonight. It's hard to convince sinners today of their need of the Lord. And I know that is the work of the Holy Spirit, and we cannot. But oh, it's hard to find a sinner in these days. Most folks feel justified or feel okay like they are.
But until that sinner comes to that place of desperation and realizes that they must have the help of God, they'll forever be lost. I wonder tonight, have you ever come to that place in your life that you realize if God didn't help you, if God didn't save you, if God didn't work a miracle in your life, if God didn't do something for you that you could not do for yourself, you were a goner. Amen? Well, you must get to that place of desperation. Amen? I believe that. It's not a choice with Jesus whether you can take him or leave him. Hey, God, he's not a choice on the menu of whether you want to have him or not have him. Are y'all hearing me? It must come to the place in your life that you are desperate to have him tonight. That you realize you must have him to be the Savior, the Lord of your life. There must be an awareness, hey God, that we need help before we can, my friend, find help or get help tonight. Amen. I want to say, my friend, once there's an awareness, hey God, then we must find the source of help. Hey God, and can I say tonight, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the matters of the soul tonight and the spirit of man, only God can help us tonight. The story in 2 Kings chapter 6 is Ben-Hadad, God of Syria, has compassed the city of Samaria. And he has, my friend, caused there to be a famine in Samaria because they can't go in and out and get food. And so they're dying in the city of Samaria. And the famine gets so bad that one day a woman sees the king out walking, my friend, in the city of Samaria. And she says, "Oh, king, hey, God, I said, I need your help." He said, what is it? And she said, a woman and I made an agreement that yesterday, hey, God, we would boil and eat my son. And today, hey, God, we would boil and eat her son. We did so yesterday with my son, but today she's hid her son. And so she said, "Help me, oh king." And the king looked at her and said, "Woman, if the Lord does not help thee, how can I help thee?" Amen. The Bible said twice in Psalm 60 and verse 11 and Psalms 108 and verse 112. The psalmist said, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." There is a need of help tonight that you and I are in need of, that our parents can't help us with, that our preacher can't help us with, that our Sunday school teacher can't help us with, our school administrator can't help us with. Amen. Our brother and sister cannot help us with tonight. Our neighbor and friend cannot help us with tonight. It's got to come from the Lord. Give us help from trouble, oh Lord, for vain is the help of man. The psalmist cried in Psalms 116 and verse 6, "I was brought low and the Lord helped me." He said in Psalms 12:1, "Help, oh Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." In other words, if I look to man, a man can't help me. But he cried in Psalms 121 and verse 1, "I will look unto the heels from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." Oh, I want to say tonight, sinner, you're in need of a help that's beyond our ability. Hey, God, tonight, that's beyond our power and our strength tonight. But if you'd find you a place to pray and call on the living God tonight, he's able to help you tonight and do that great work in your life that needs to be done. Amen. Help. Amen. There must be an awareness of help. Amen. Before help can come, we must look to the right source for help tonight. And surely that source is the Lord tonight. It's true in salvation, and it's true in anything that we do in the service of God.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that tonight. I want to say, here's a woman that realized she needed help. Amen. And came to the right source for help. Amen. Now she is asking for help tonight. Once you're aware you need help, then you must ask for it. Amen. I'm talking about when it comes to the Lord tonight. Amen. Thank God. If we'll ask, we can receive. If we seek, we can find. If we knock, it shall be open unto us tonight. Amen. He that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open unto him tonight. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. It was a terrible night when I realized I was helpless how to save myself or to go to heaven in the condition I was in. But I'm so glad, though I was helpless, I was not hopeless. I'm glad that same Holy Ghost that shined the light on me and made me aware that I was a hell-deserving sinner and could not help myself. It's the same Holy Ghost that led me to the cross, that led me to Christ, that showed me there was an escape, there was a way out, that there was hope and help for my soul. Woo! Look to the right, to the left tonight. You'll not find the help you need. You'll not find the answers that you're, my friend, wanting. The answer to the questions that you have tonight. But if you'll look beyond this veil of sorrow, if you'll look beyond, hey God, the temporal tonight, and see him, hey God, that is eternal, he that is invisible tonight. I see him that died at Calvary. There's help for your soul tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. So this woman comes, thank God, to Jesus. Now, he came near where she lived. The Bible said he came to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Amen. Don't think it actually means he came to the city of Tyre and Sidon, but he came to the coast. Amen. 70 to 80 miles. It's the longest trip that the Lord ever made in his earthly ministry was when he went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Hallelujah. Amen. And on the border, on the brink of the border, on the coast of Tyre and Sidon, that country that belonged to the tribe of Asher, thank God, near Sidon, thank God, and Tyre, thank God, that seaport city built on an island 20 miles from Sidon, Jesus there on the edge of the coast in the land of Asher, thank God, the Bible said in Mark chapter 7, entered into a house. Amen. Thank God. For he did not want to be known that he was there. But the Bible said he couldn't be hid. Woo! And tonight, he can't be hid. This thing wasn't done in a corner tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God. This thing of salvation, this thing of help from the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, bless his name. I'm amazed how many times in the New Testament when Jesus was on earth and in his earthly ministry, he would do something for somebody and said, be sure you tell no one. And as soon as he got loose, they'd tell everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. Nowadays, we're to tell everyone, and most folks tell no one. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God there's help available tonight. There must be an awareness of help, the need of help. There must be the asking for help, and that's what she's doing. Thank God she comes to that place. She comes to that house. She comes to where Jesus was. Hallelujah. Oh, he came to where she was first. Now she comes to him. I want to say to you tonight, had he not come where we were at, we could never have got to him. But I'm glad he came. Thank God to us in our poor condition. And now we can come to him in repentance and faith. We can come to him in assurance. We can come to him, thank God, and find a mercy and obtain grace to help us in the time of need. Amen. So here she is. And she's, thank God, asking for help. When she comes to where Jesus is, she cries out, hallelujah, and says unto him, O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. Is anybody that is here tonight, is any of y'all, were y'all, any of y'all here last night? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Do y'all remember the last point of the message last night? Do y'all remember the plea that blind Bartimaeus made when Jesus came out of Jericho and passed by where he was sitting? Do y'all remember what Bartimaeus said to Jesus? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. That's what this woman's saying. Hallelujah. Brother, she's come to the right source and she's praying the right prayer. Amen. Thank God. She's asking the right one and she's asking the right way. Though she is a Canaanite, though she is a Syrophoenician, a Greek, she recognizes, thank God, that he's the heir to the Davidic throne, that he is the very son of David, that he is the Lord. She says the same words that Bartimaeus says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still for Bartimaeus, but he doesn't say a word to her. The Bible said he answers her not a word. Amen. There may be someone in this congregation tonight that in seeking for help tonight in salvation, you've cried out to God. You've asked him to have mercy on me, on you tonight, and realized his lordship and his position. But tonight, it seems as though he's turned his back and he's turned his ear and has not answered you a word tonight. And maybe there's a saint here tonight. Hallelujah. That is in a struggle. You're carrying a burden. You're fighting a battle tonight. And you went to the Lord for help. And you've cried as this woman did. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hey, God, thou son of David, and help me. Hallelujah. Hey, God, have mercy on me. And yet, though you prayed the prayer that you've heard others say they prayed, and they've got results, you've not heard a word. Amen. Bless his name tonight. Hallelujah. Oh. But you know what the woman did? She didn't quit. She kept crying after him. In so much so, hallelujah, that when he answered her not a word, the disciples got tired of hearing her cry out to the Lord. For she kept saying, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now the scripture almost indicates that by her crying out and following after them, she's not real close to him. She's at some distance, but she's crying with a loud voice and asking him, hey God, to have mercy upon her. But he's not offering any mercy. He doesn't even acknowledge she exists. And the disciples grow tired of her continual crying out, have mercy on me. and they look at Jesus and say, why don't you send her away? She cries after us. The Bible said in verse 23, they besought him to send her away. The word sought means, besought means to beg. They said, Lord, won't you please tell that woman to hush? Won't you tell that woman to go back where she come from and quit crying after us? We're tired of hearing her say, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Amen. But he looked at those disciples and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, I can't say nothing to her because I've not come to her. I've come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so I cannot say and will not reply to her because she's not of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Anybody listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I think she's, if they're within hearing distance of her cry, surely she's in hearing distance of him make this reply to the disciples. Surely she hears the disciples beg him to send her away. And surely she hears the message. Amen. That Jesus said, I'm not sent save to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why didn't she just go away? Because she come to the only one that could help her. Amen. Woo! The Bible said she's of the land of Canaan. Mark's gospel said she's a Greek. If she's a Greek, she's a non-Jew. Amen. If she's a Greek, hey God, she's polytheistic in her theology. She's served many gods. I got a feeling, hey God, this woman has tried other gods. I believe this woman has looked at this one and prayed to that one and called on this one and nobody's helped. Woo! I don't know where she heard about him. Mark said she heard about him. Somewhere the message got through. Woo! About Jesus of Nazareth. And she said, that's the one that can help me. And she stayed right there and kept crying, have mercy on me, because there was nobody else that could help her but him. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hallelujah. I almost said, well, I'm sorry that I get so excited when I preach and scream and slobber and sweat and spit. But he called me. And this is my gear and my delivery. And if I was down on the ball court or the ball field or at a rock concert and carrying on, everybody would think I was really involved. Hallelujah. Hey, bless his name. And I've got far more to be excited about tonight than they have. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm in the family. God, when the scoreboard says zero, they quit shouting, it's over with. Especially if their team loses. Hallelujah. But the preacher said and sung tonight, I'm on the winning side. Not just the winning side, but the side's already won. Hallelujah. How do you know you've already won? I read the back of the book, amen. Hallelujah. And I see us coming with him. Hallelujah. Woo! In power and great glory. Oh, yes. I've already won tonight. Woo! I'm not fighting towards victory. I'm fighting from victory tonight. I'm fighting from Calvary. I'm fighting from an empty tomb. I'm fighting from a risen Savior. Hey, God. And a faithful high priest. Oh my. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not sent to the lost. She must have heard this, but she doesn't quit because there's nobody else that can help. And tonight, if you're looking and been crying out to Him to have mercy on you for your lost soul, keep crying tonight. You're at the right place. You're at the right source. And if you're a saint tonight and you've been praying and crying out for Him to help you in some situation, some circumstance, some trial, some great temptation, some burden that you don't know how to carry, and He's not answered a word, just keep crying to Him tonight. You're at the right source for help. He's the only one that can help tonight. Don't walk away now. Just stay there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 23, the Bible said they besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And again, the word besought there means they begged Him. But in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 26, the Bible said she besought Him. Hallelujah. That's begging Him to send her away, and she's begging Him to have mercy on her. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Somebody said, I ain't going to beg. Well, you ain't going to get no help. You get desperate enough for help, you'll beg. You won't be too proud to. Woo! Hallelujah. I wonder when the church spits out her nasty pride, throws away her vainglory and foolish pride, and again lays in the altars and in the aisles and begs God for help. I believe it's then that God will help us again. Do y'all realize how desperate need we are of His help tonight? Oh my. Help us, Lord. Precious men that this pastor has even tonight mentioned would be coming in. Brother Rain's already here. You can exclude me from the crowd, but oh, what precious men of God have come. But I want to tell you, if all of them show up and all their crowd shows up and all the sailors show up and He don't show up, we ain't going to have no help. Woo! Oh, we need it. It's not so important your favorite preacher preach or your favorite singer sing, but it is important that He manifest Himself and God in His power and in His glory. And if we don't have that, we won't have what we need. Hallelujah. I've been alarmed the last few years, especially the last 5 years, at what churches are doing. And I've seen churches hang from the chandeliers, jump the pews, run the building, amen, and talk about how much God is around, and yet there's more hell in the church, how there's more ungodliness, amen, more sin-wrecked lives. We don't need another hanging from the chandelier or somebody that can simply jump a pew. I'm not against that if God's in it, but what we're needing is a help that changes lives, that makes a difference in people and doesn't just make them happy, but makes them want to be holy. Hallelujah. Amen. They're begging and she's begging. Hallelujah. Wonder who's going to win. Amen. Hallelujah. But something took place in verse 25 when the Bible said, then came she. She'd already come out of the coast of Canaan. She'd already come, the Syrophoenician, and was crying out, have mercy. But she is at a distance. And nothing is happening. He wasn't answering, and the disciples is begging him to send her away. And he is saying, I'm not come save to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she. She'd already come out, and then she got a little closer. The Bible said she then came she and worshiped him. Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 7, hallelujah, said she came and fell at his feet. Are you hearing me tonight? And what did she do? The Bible said she worshiped him. What is worship? Somebody said it's the overflow of a grateful heart under the sense of divine favor. What is worship? Somebody said it's the outpouring of a soul at rest in the presence of God. What is worship? Worship is the occupation of the heart, not with its needs, not with its blessings, but with God Himself.
Amen.
Are you with me tonight? Prayer is when the soul's occupied with its needs. Praise is when the soul is occupied with its blessings. But worship is when the soul is occupied with just Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Two different Greek words in the New Testament for worship. The one that's translated most is this one. Thank God. Amen. Amen. It means to do reverence, to do homage by prostrating oneself. It means to worship and adore. Now, can I say something else tonight? Just two times when the word worship is mentioned in the New Testament does it have to do with a sanctuary. Philippians 3:3, Hebrews 10:2. The rest of the time, it doesn't involve the sanctuary. Are y'all hearing me? So you're saying we're not to worship in the sanctuary? No, but I'm saying that ain't the only place to worship. And one reason we don't worship no better in the sanctuary is because we don't worship everywhere else. Woo! This woman fell at his feet. This woman came near. She'd been afar off crying out, have mercy on me thou son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. But now she comes close. Now she falls at his feet. Now she worships. Now she adores. Now she's occupied with him, just who he is. Anybody listening to me tonight? She worshiped him because of who he was, not because of what he'd done. He hadn't done anything.
Amen.
Not because of what he's going to do, because he said, I'm not fooling with her. She's not of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she got down at his feet and she said, I'll tell you one thing, whether you ever do anything or not, I'm going to worship you before I go back to the house. I'm going to let you know that I appreciate who you are, that I adore you, amen, that I'm bowing to your presence and recognizing you for who you are. And when she worshiped, something happened, and she felt like saying something else, and she switched from saying, have mercy on me, to she simply said, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. Did anybody around here pray for mercy last night? Did you feel like maybe your prayer didn't get there? I wonder tonight, would you move up a little closer? I wonder, would you fall at his feet tonight? I wonder, would you worship him and say, if you do or you don't, I'm going to worship you. Hey, God, hey, I'm just going to adore you. I'm just going to see you for who you are. You're worthy of my worship. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Anybody listen to me tonight? She came. Hallelujah. Who is this woman that came? Greek, Syrophoenician. Amen. She is not of the house of Israel. She is a Canaanite, and cursed be Canaan. She is a Syrophoenician. She's mixed. She's dirty. She's immoral. Amen. And on top of that, she's got a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil. Again, Mark says she had a young daughter who had an unclean spirit. It didn't say the unclean spirit had her. It said she had the unclean spirit. Are you listening to me tonight? For her to have the unclean spirit, some avenue had to be open for that unclean spirit to come in. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Y'all gonna quit on me? Are you listening to me tonight? What you see, what you listen to, what you surround yourself with, what you think upon, provides an avenue for the unclean spirit to affect your life. Are you hearing me? Amen. 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 Are you hearing me? This daughter might have looked at the immorality of her mother. The mixture that she was. The fact she served so many different gods. Yeah. And nothing real. Are y'all here? Nothing real to her. Amen. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. Yeah. And there's nothing worse than somebody that belongs to an independent Baptist church but don't know who God is and got all kind of gods in their house and serving them all. And the young folks don't know who in the world they ought to serve. I mean, the preacher preaches one way and mom and daddy live another way. Act another way, amen. Oh. And it provides an avenue for an unclean spirit to come into the life of a young child. Amen. Amen. And here's this young daughter, young woman. Amen. And it might have been her, whatever she was around, whatever she was involved in. And then we forget preaching for a preacher. Many years ago in the state of North Carolina, and this preacher, his parents, when he was very young, divorced, and really didn't care about him nor his brother, either one, really just throwed them away. Neither one of them wanted them after they divorced. So they lived with the grandparents, and the grandparents provided for their material needs, but really, that was all he did, and really didn't care, just turned them loose, let them do whatever they wanted to do. And he said, preacher, I never will forget, as a teenage boy, I was so hooked on that rock and roll music, that heavy stuff, that hard stuff. And he said, I never will forget sitting in the basement of my grandparents' home. And again, another day flooding that stuff in my mind and in my soul. And he said, as I was sitting there rocking back and forth in the rocking chair, listening to that music, it is almost as Satan said to me, if you'll give yourself to me, if you'll just commit yourself to me, I'll show you a good time. want to tell you is an avenue for an unclean spirit. Amen. Amen. Man. I'll tell you what, if you get on that computer tonight and you click on that little button and it shows something that you know you ought not to be involved in, you better just move on. Walk out of the room, do something. If you can't deal with it, unplug it. Ain't God throw it out in the backyard because you click on it. And you may think, ain't God, I can look at it innocently, but you're providing some trouble in your life. Oh, God, help us tonight. God, help us. Here she is. Here's a woman that's not an Israelite. She's not the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's who Jesus come. I've not come saved to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So she's out on that account. Canaanite, Greek, Syrophoenician, got a daughter grievously vexed with the devil. And she's walking around after Jesus and the disciples crying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." He's not answering her. And the disciples is begging him to send her away. And she's begging him to hear her, and now she just falls at his feet and worships him. Hallelujah. And says, "Lord, help me." Something transpires. Jesus turns to her. At least he acknowledges she's there. She's not a likely candidate. Could you pick out a worse person for him to talk to? By the way, don't let your flesh or the devil tell you that you're in too bad a shape to get at his feet and worship him tonight and beg him to help you. She bowed and said, "Lord, help me." Jesus said to her, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Mark's gospel, he said, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Let the Israelites be filled, let them be fed, and don't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." You're a dog. And that's what the Gentiles were to the Jews: dogs, heathens, outcasts, strangers, aliens. You know what she said? "Truth, Lord." "It's right, Lord." Hallelujah. "I'm a dog. I'm a Gentile dog. I'm unclean. I'm unworthy. I'm unholy. I'm ungodly. I'm everything you said I was." Hallelujah. "But Lord, I'm not wanting the children's bread, but I will take the crumbs, for even the dogs get to eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Remember, she's beseeching him, or she has besought him. She's begging him. So simply what she's saying is, "I'm a crumb begging dog." That's what she said. "I am begging for the crumbs. I'm ready to get under the table and take, thank God, what the children that do not eat, I'll take the crumbs." Hallelujah. Amen. "By the way, Lord, the crumbs is all I need. The crumbs are enough." Hallelujah. Woo. "The leftovers are enough." Amen. "Would you let me have the crumbs? I'm begging for the crumbs. I want the crumbs." Hallelujah. Amen. If you need help bad enough, you're willing to take the crumbs. Hallelujah. And she's begging for the crumbs. She's in that position that she's asking for the crumbs. And the Lord says, hallelujah. Oh, I found Oh, no, so great a faith, no, not in Israel. He said in Mark's gospel, because of this saying, because of what you said, go home, hallelujah. Go back to your daughter, she'll be all right. And the Bible said, when she got back home and asked them, they said their daughter was made whole that very hour. Hallelujah. Mark said when she got home, she found her lying on the bed. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that ain't all she found. The Bible said she found the devil cast out of her and her lying on the bed. When she walked in the door, she looked around and there wasn't no devil. There wasn't no unclean spirit. She said, he's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah. And then she went in there and there was that daughter lying on the bed. She was at peace. She was at rest. Woo! She wasn't tormented. She wasn't troubled. Why? Because he had done the work. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's the way it is, but at least let me think about it a little bit and think about it with me tonight. Usually when Jesus would command the devils to come out, they'd usually come out with resistance, tearing, crying, having some kind of fit like they didn't want to leave. So imagine when Jesus looked at that Syrophoenician woman begging for the crumbs, and he said, go thy way. Your faith has touched me. And your daughter's all right. She's going to be made whole. When he said that, I don't know who did. Somebody give the devil an eviction notice and said, he said, move out. And an unclean spirit probably throwed, I don't know, did something with her, but here he was. The Lord said, you ain't gonna throw her up against the wall. You're not gonna throw her on the floor. Here's the bed. Hallelujah. And left her right there. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. Well, bless his name. Don't you know Satan would love tonight? Hallelujah. To absolutely destroy every one of us, but aren't you glad he that's greater tonight? And he that has power over Satan tonight? Amen. He that will help us tonight. I want to ask the question tonight, is there anybody here that needs help? Sinner, are you here tonight and needing help? Would you cry to the Lord as you bow at his feet and say, Lord, help me? Is there children of God in this building tonight that need to cry, Lord, help me? She cried, help me, but it was her daughter she was coming in behalf of. But if she got help, her daughter was going to get help. If her daughter got helped, she was going to get helped. I don't know about y'all. I sure am needing some help. And I'm convinced tonight, if you get helped, I'll get helped. If I get helped, you'll get helped. If different ones in the building not get helped, it'll affect others. All I know to do tonight is get before him, worship him, get at his feet without saying a lot of words, without a lot of fancy words, just say, Lord, help.
My heart's breaking tonight because there's some people in here tonight that need help. You said, "Preacher, I'm an unlikely candidate." So was she. And I don't know nothing else that he did in Tyre and Sidon except for this woman. Not actually inside, but just at the coast. And she come out of the coast, met him at the border, and got help. There's help available for you tonight. Sinner, there's help available for your dying soul. You don't have to go on any sin. You don't have to go on in the bonds and chains of your sin tonight. Saint, there's help for you tonight. If you'll acknowledge, ask, there is assurance. He's a present help in the time of trouble. He will help us tonight. Come boldly in the throne of grace, you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We're going to stand to our feet tonight.